Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
And we thank you for that. And everybody said, amen. Turn to the girl next to you and say, are you ready? I'm ready. We're going to go. You're wondering, why is she using her big old computer? Listen, Pastor Jess needs to go and get my eyes checked so I can see better on my computer. Are we okay with that? So we're going to get into John 15. Turn in your word to John 15. How many of you got your Bible? And you can hold up your phone. It's not like shameful. I've heard people like, we get letters in the mail, you know, the pastors are on their phones on the front row. Listen, yeah, I am. It's on my Bible. My Bible's on my phone. So you can take notes on your phone. You can use your Bible on your phone. No judgment and condemnation. Can we say amen? All right? Because I love that we can carry the word everywhere we go now. You know, it's kind of hard to stuff this in my pocket, but I got my phone. And so when I'm in the store and I need a word and I run into somebody, I could pull it out and it's my weapon. And girls, tonight we're going to get into John 15, and it's talking about God and who he is and who we are. Because sometimes I think the identity of a woman has been blurred by our society a little too much. We go into this feminist movement. Have you noticed, you know, women have the right for this and women have the right for that. And then on the other side, they're telling you, well, you could just be whatever you want to be and just feel whatever you want to feel. And it's just like, it's just this cloudiness falling over our society. And God says, stop it. I made you a woman. I called you out by name. I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before your mother did. I know every hair on your head. I know every emotion. I know that you can laugh and cry at the same moment, and I'm totally okay with that. I know all about you, and maybe you might feel like you don't know who you are, but tonight you're going to find out who you are because the one who created you and loved you before anyone in this world did, he has your number. He knows your name. He knows why you're here and who you are and your destiny and your purpose and your call tonight. So tonight, girls, you're not going to sit in these seats and stay normal. You're going to talk back to me, and we're going to get into this message together. So when something is good, I want to hear. There you go. Because I'm not preaching to a dead church tonight. All right? Because we live in a crappy world. She just said crap in the pulpit. If you don't know who I am, I'm going to apologize to you now. I wear pants. I like eating sugar. And I got lots of cellulite. All right? That's why I wear pants. So we're going to just be girls tonight. We're going to be who we are. And we're going to embrace it because we love God. But he has a word for us. And so tonight, John 15, let's get into it. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. My Father is the vine dresser. And every branch that is in me does not bear fruit. He takes it away. We'll get back to that. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because the world in which I have spoken to you abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch that is withered. And they are gathered and they are thrown them into a fire and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Why are we sitting around like ain't nothing happening? Because right there it says, it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Do I have any disciples in this house tonight? Sometimes I think we forget about our positions because as women, it's very easy to pour out so much of yourself into everyone around you that you lose yourself. And you go, I don't know who I am anymore. I know this happens in many seasons and many places. I know that I've heard this with the older women. I've heard this with the younger women. I've heard this with the new moms. Oh, can I get an amen? Like, you're like, what happened to my stomach? What happened to my face? What happened to my hair fell out? You just never understand hormones, right? And so all these things begin to change in our lives. And as more people come in and more people get filled into our world, we pour out, we pour out, we pour out. But what are we filling up with? And many times, just the past couple months, many people have been asking me, what are you doing for yourself? It was a question that I went, I don't really know. And I'm just kind of doing everything I can for everybody else, but what am I doing for me? Ask yourself that question. What are you doing for you? Some of you go, oh, girl, I get my nails done every week. Well, good on you. Hallelujah. Some of you go get a massage. Some of you, you know, go shopping. It's like therapy for you. Do I have any therapy shoppers in here? Hallelujah. Some of you garden. How many of you garden? Like, I started that this week, and it was totally therapeutic for me. And then I already have things growing up out of the ground. I'm so excited. And so, you see, we plant seeds into things that we want, things that are going to fill us up. We put time and effort into those things because they're important, right? But yet God is saying, if I am in you and you're in me, but you're not doing anything, I'm going to remove you. If there's not fruit, if there's not good fruit, you have to be removed. I have to burn it up and take you away. But if there is, if you're in me and I'm in you, I'm going to prune you. You go, I don't like the pruning phase. Maybe some of you are going, what does that feel like? It cuts deep. It's a moment of like, what is happening? And God is going, just hold on. Just hold my hand through this. Because the pain is going to be worth it on the other side. Because there's going to be an abundance of fruit that will pour out of this situation that you don't understand. You see, this is what God is asking of us. And if we as daughters could grasp this for ourselves in our own personal lives, then how much more will our families be blessed by it? How much more will the job be blessed by it? How much more will the husband be blessed by it? How much more can you be a better woman in the world in your sphere of influence if you get a hold of this? Because see, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You're special to the King. He has his heart in you. And he loves you dramatically. And I love this verse. So as I began to study this out on my own 3 years ago, I read this, and we were going through the transition. It was the very beginning of it. And God gave me, I'll show you on the paper, it said, he gave me these verses, and he said, I want you to take yourself through a prayer journal. And this was my prayer journal. Is this like totally like beautiful, right? See, Pastor Jess, it does not have it all together. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I do. What I am going to tell you is I'm very normal like the rest of you. And you don't have it together either. So don't be in here and I'll be like, oh, I got my stuff together. She's a hot mess. Listen, my writing stinks. I probably spelt half of it wrong. But you know what? My prayer was precious. And this little journal I had that just kept me in line when I needed it, kept me in line, kept me focused, kept me going, reminded me that I was in him and he was in me, and that I cannot be burned away by these things, but I have to be pruned so I can be better at these things. This was what God needed me to get a hold of. And then I had to apply it to those areas in my life that God has given me and he's put in my hand. You go, there's nothing really in my hand. Maybe you're single in this place and you're going, I've been waiting for that man. Where is he? Is he out sinning? Because if he is, oh, he's going to get it when I meet him. I used to say that about my husband. And then really, I was the one that was sinning. And so I'm sure Pastor Dan was like, seriously, you're taking forever, lady. So here's God. And he says, I need you to write some things down. I want you to, if you have notes, I want you to write three sections. I want you to write one that says personal and then leave blank space. I want you want one, blah, 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 for you to write people in my world. And then one, I'm going to add this, church. Because girls, you need to be planted in the house of God. You can't be hopping around from church to church wondering what's happening. You need to be called and planted. You need to be under a covering and an umbrella of the anointing of God that flows from that church. Each church has their own flavor. And the church down the street, if that's where God has called you, you better be there. But if God has called you here in your church hopping, I'm going to get on my rock, girls. You better sit your butt in the seats and you better get yourself filled up, get yourself back in church because your kids and your family's at stake. You need to be planted in the house. So the church needs to be a part of your prayer chain. You need to pray for souls. You need to pray because you're a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not going to come into this church and get a patty cake message. You're going to come into this church and you're going to be told how awesome you are. Now that you are awesome, guess what? You got to get out there and get going, girlfriend. Because you have something that I don't have. You have influence. God has given you dimension. He has given you creativity. He has given you organization. He has given you where you remember when the babies cry and you're the first one up at night? Guess what? It doesn't go away. Because now I got a puppy and ain't nobody in the house hear that puppy. Not one person hears a stupid dog. Just mom. And you know, my concern is, oh, get the dog to be quiet so he doesn't wake the whole house up. You know? But I believe those were instincts that God put inside of us. And he knew that we could handle it and it was okay. I used to get mad at Pastor Dan when he wouldn't wake up with the kids right away. I'd be like, it's your turn. Do you guys ever do that? It's your turn. It's your turn. And he was like, seriously? It's your turn. You're the one that feeds the baby. And I'm like, oh. This is so frustrating. But the reality is that's okay. Because I had to learn my place as a woman. I had to step into my new position as a mom. I had to step into who God made me to be that I didn't know who I was. And I had to become who God needed me, but I didn't think I could be that girl. I didn't think I could be that mom. I didn't think I could be that pastor. I didn't think I could be that friend. I didn't think that I could be the one standing in a pulpit giving a message about the word of God and be passionate about it. But let me tell you something. You don't know what's inside of you. There's something greater that lives in you than you even understand. And when you are in him and he is in you, something begins to sprout up on the inside of you. And something refreshing pours and grows and stretches. And you go beyond the capacity in your personal life, in your family's life, in your church life. You take new levels and the devil comes at you and you're like, try me again, sucker. Because I'm living there right now, girls. I'm like, come on, you got another one for me? And you know what? When he stops shaking you, guess what happens? He moves on. Pastor Dan called me today, and I said, how did Micah's surgery go? He said, good. I said, extra $1,000, though. Ah, well, whatever. And he goes, right on, Jess, right on. And I'm like, he's got this. Because you know what? I'm not going to be shaken by money. I'm not a slave to it. I'm not a slave to it. It's not going to take me down. It's not going to shake my faith. You know what I was more concerned about? How's my baby doing? How's Micah? Is he functioning? And Dan, if he's doing something funny, please record him. We have a pact with Micah that we will not do that. And so Dan is totally sticking to it. And so God has something for us, though, as women. And so how do we begin to produce this incredible abundance, fields? I'm just seeing like fruit pouring out of every area in our life. How do I begin, God, then to be this person that you've asked me to be and walk in what you've asked me to walk in? How do I get there, God? Lord, I'm sick of the money flying out the window. Lord, I want the money to be growing out the window. Right? Lord, I'm sick of the fights in the family. I'm asking for the peace in the family and the fruit that springs up from that peace, that love and joy and peace and patience will flow through my family. Maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God says, why do you even stay there? Because you're in me and I'm not sick, nor am I tired. I don't slumber and I don't sleep. See, you got to remind yourself who you are in and grab your strength from that source. When you plant a seed in the ground, which I just did, that seed has to be nourished. I had to rake all the dead things out of that ground before I put that good seed in it. Because if I put the bad seed in the ground, nothing would spring up out of that ground. It would choke it. It would take it away. But I tilled the ground, I put nutrients in the ground, I watered the ground, then I planted the seed, and it's only been a week and it's already popping up. Now, to have that seed, to harvest it, and to nurture it, and to take it to new places, just like having babies, right? When you have a newborn, you are on nonstop. You did not know that you could be a feeding tube 24 hours a day. You did not know that you could be a human pacifier. That is like crazy, right? No one talks about it. That's for all the young girls. And all the older women are like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I'm here to tell you, I promise this too shall pass. And it's worth every minute. It's worth every moment because that's such special bonding time. But God knows what he's doing. He plants that seed. He puts that in our hearts. But sometimes we allow the wrong seeds to be planted in our hearts. And those roots are not healthy roots that start to grow. And they choke out what God wants to do inside of you. And tonight, we got to rip some roots out. You got to take some roots out so that some fruits can grow. Because if you have a bad root, and if you are not guarding your heart, if you're not taking yourself to a new place, if you're not constantly asking yourself, am I okay, God? What is this, Lord? I'm so angry right now. And he goes, I know you are. Come on, let's talk about it. You say, I don't even know. I don't want to talk about it. Have you ever felt that way? Or is that just me? Like, I don't want to talk to you about it. I just don't want to like the person. Do you ever feel that way? Or is it just me? Is this like confession pastor 101, right? Like, or you say, God, I've read all those scriptures. I already know them all. And he says, yeah, but you're not doing them. Yeah, but you're not applying them. You need to read them again. You need to go back to that story again. You need to be reminded again. You see, you can think you know it all until you're in a hot mess moment, and you need to get back to the word and remind yourself, I am the vine dresser. He's my vine dresser, and I live in him, and he lives in me, and I'm going to produce much fruit. So how do I get started producing some fruit in my life? Number one, I have to hear the voice of God. A.W. Tozer says, it is the nature of God to always be speaking. He wants to have fellowship with you, and he wants you to hear him all the time. I wonder how much we're missing out on God wanting to say something. Because we get in our heads so much, I don't hear God, I don't hear him, I don't know how to hear God. I don't know if that was God or if that was me. Or maybe you have so many incredible distractions happening around you that there's not enough silence to just stop and listen. And God is saying for you to take yourself, you being me and I and you, and you pour out much fruit, you have to hear from me first. Now, we heard about The View, right? Those ladies on The View, I do not like that show. I feel like they are a shame for women. So if you watch it, shame on you. Because these women hate Christians. And if you're a Christian woman, we need to take our stand. And we need to be righteous and holy before God. And she made fun of our vice president because he said he heard God speak. And I almost got the clip, but I didn't want to like shame everybody. But I'll tell you something. They had a big old laughing session over that. And I want to say this tonight. God does speak. He speaks loud and clear. He speaks to our heart. He speaks through nature. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through his word. He speaks through the Spirit of God. He is trying to get humanity's attention on a daily basis all day long. And you girls need to hear from God tonight. You need an answer from God because sometimes you don't know what direction you're taking. You don't know what path to go down. You don't know how to love again. You don't know how to release and forgiveness. You don't know because you're broken and you're hurt. Or maybe life is good. Maybe life is so good and God is silent in the good. You go, where's God? I miss him. Have you ever been in that place where God just answers the prayers and life is satisfying? But there's just nothing moving. There's nothing. You're like, I want more, but there's not much there. And God is saying, I'm speaking to you. But see, God's not going to fight with us against the distractions of life. God's not going to come against the things we allow in place of him. He wants us to make the decision to make him first and to hear his voice and to seek his face. The word says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I love that. And here's a man, we're going to go and we're going to read about Elijah in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 3. And I love this story. Here's Elijah, he's running Everybody's been wiped out, and here he is. He's hiding in a cave. Have you ever felt like you're hiding from God? There's been times that I feel like I'm going to my closet and I'm hiding from my children. And somehow, the little one right there, Mom. And I need that moment with God because I just feel like the world is collapsing in. And here was Elijah. He was scared. Everybody's been wiped out. He's standing in this cave, and God says, why are you there? And I'm going to pick up in verse 19 and 11. It says, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain. He's talking to Elijah. God is talking to him, and he's saying, actually, I'm going to go a little further up. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 8, arise and go to Sapphira, which belongs. Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. You're like, no, Pastor Jess, you're in the wrong chapter. Let me move on here. He says, in the beginning, in verse 10, so he said, I have been very zealous. This is Elijah talking to God. For the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have all forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They have killed your prophets with swords. I am alone, and they seek to take my life. Have you ever felt like, am I the only Christian around? Am I the only one that knows that God needs to be glorified and magnified? Am I the only one? But yet here was Elijah. He felt like he was the only one. Everybody had been wiped out. And God says this in response to him in verse 11. Then he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passes by. And a great and a strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Girls, you need to silence the earthquakes in your life. You need to put out the fires in your life. Do you ever feel like you put one fire out and then another one is starting over here and then you're like, I'm going to put this one out and then I'm going to put the... You see what a distraction that is. And all these things destroy. The earthquake, the wind, the fire, it all destroys. And God was not in what destroyed. Did you notice that? But he was in the still, small voice in the midst of the trouble. You see, I am the vine. You are the branches. I need to cut you or I need to prune you. Elijah was in that moment and God said, come on now. You need to hear my voice. And in that voice, he gave Elijah direction after that, told him where to go, who to pray for, told Elijah who where to go, split up. I need you guys to go cover the area. I need you to take care of some things. And maybe you've been in a place of standstill in life. And maybe you're not hearing God's voice. How do you hear the voice of God? Number one, that voice lives within you. That still small whisper. Sometimes you think it's you because it sounds like you. It's your spirit man. Did you know that? You have a spirit man. And it's yourself. And sometimes you go, I would never tell myself that. I remember one time I was dating a guy. And, you know, he was a good guy, but he wasn't the God guy. There is a difference, girls. And I was like, God, if you don't want me to be with him, just tell me. And I heard, no, I don't want you to be with him. And I was like, that wasn't me. You know, because I'm trying to tell myself what I want to hear. It was so God. Because it wasn't Pastor Dan, obviously. You see, sometimes you're going to talk yourself out of it. Oh, that wasn't me. Well, then it is God. Because usually it's going to be something you don't want to hear. Because God's directions and his paths aren't always your ways or your wants or your desires. He's going to give you what's best for you, not what you want. He's going to take, it's like your children. When your children say to you, but I want this. And they've already had, let's say that they say, it's the end of the night, they want another ice cream cone. But all day long, they've had cookies and cupcakes. Are you going to let them have an ice cream cone right before bed? No, some of you are like, yes, listen, mama. I'm praying for you because they're going to be wired. You're going to say no because it's not healthy for them, because they need to get in bed. They need to settle down. It's time for a time of rest. It's time. You're going to take control of that situation, hopefully in Jesus' name. We need to do a workshop on parenting. So... And it's like God with us, though. But God, But God, I want it. And he's going, you're not listening. You're not doing it your way, sweetheart. This is my world. You're my child. You do what I say the way I say it. And you're going to be safe in it. You're going to be prosperous in it. You're going to bear much fruit in it. You're going to have favor in it. You're going to see the anointing of my presence in your life. You see, when you do it your own way, you're not going to have it good. When you do it God's way and you hear the voice of God on these matters, your life is going to fall into some favor. It's going to fall into some blessing. It's going to have some breakthrough. Who needs some breakthrough power from God tonight? See, nobody wants to take the time to hear from the voice of God. How do I do that, Pastor Jess? Set yourself aside. Maybe you need a fast. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to say, you know what? This is my time. I'm going to take 30 minutes to myself. And maybe it's at the end of a night. Maybe whatever your pace is, take your pace. God will meet you there. He loves you. There's so many scriptures on hearing the voice of God because he's very serious about that. Elijah got his direction. You need some direction. Hear from the voice of God. John 10:4, it says, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. I love that. You don't have to go out on your own blind. He already knows where you're going. He's already set the path before you. Some of you are like, oh, I'm scared to take that path, but don't, because he's already going before you. And it says that he brings the sheep, he goes out before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I have this new puppy, and her name is Lucy. My mom got the dog. My mom and dad didn't want the dog, so guess who ended up with the dog? Add one more thing in my life. So we get Lucy, and the thing about Lucy is she's so stinking cute. So she poops and eats it. And then stares at me, and I'm like, I'm gonna kill her. So today, I'm like all alone in the house, and I'm like, no one's here. This is like heaven. The dogs are gonna distract me, but I'm gonna put them away. So Lucy, like, was away. Well, apparently she pooped, and she brought some poop over to me where I was studying. And like, devil woman came out. Like, I don't even know if I'm fit to preach tonight. Like, I grabbed up that dog, I said, bad dog! Because if you do it like that, they know they're in trouble, right? And she just like rolls over. I'm like, seriously, why do you gotta be so stinking cute? I'm like, bad dog, you don't need poop! And so like, I throw her outside, I clean up the poop, then I go to sit down, and I'm looking at my computer, and she's scratching at the back door, you know? I'm like, I'm not listening to that, I'm not listening to that. And I'm looking at my computer, and the verse is like, making me a clean heart, oh God. And I'm like, like, I need to repent right now because I almost punk kicked this dog like to the neighbor's house. See, I told you I'm real. Okay. I don't know. That was a side story. It has nothing to do with my message, okay? We're just being girls. Okay. 10:27, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. But this is what I was going to say. This is where I was going with this. As soon as I said Lucy, she came in, ran to me, jumped on my lap like, are we friends again? Because I'm her owner. And when my mother-in-law's over and I'm like, can you take the dog out while I'm in the middle of doing something? She will not follow Sue for nothing. But then if I have to take her out, I have to walk her out because I am the owner. And you know what? It's the same thing with God. We have to be so loyal, so close, so connected to him that I'm not going to go follow someone else's voice or direction. I'm going to stay close to God because you know what? I know there's safety in there. And even when he disciplines me and prunes me back and cuts me down, I trust it because I need it, because it's going to be good for me. See, she should not be eating poop. Who knows what's in the poop? What are we eating, girls? And it's a very gross. This is like a men's meeting or something, right? Like, where are we going with this, Pastor Jess? But sometimes we allow junk, crap, stuff in our life that takes us down directions that are not according to what God is telling us to do. Because if he's speaking all the time, am I listening all the time? Because he is. And I want to know his voice. I want to be the sheep that follows my master. I want to be the one so close to him. I think about those sharks. And you know those little fish that like hang on sharks? Did you know that? there's a whole bunch of little fish that hang on sharks through the ocean. Now, I think they're safest there because they can't bite themselves, you know. But they eat off of what the shark is eating. They eat the remainder of it. That's a safe place for them. They're going to get fed. No one's going to come eat them. The shark can't reach them, right? When we're under our Father's covering, when we're hearing his voice and we're following his lead, guess what happens? We can't be touched by the enemy. When he tries, he doesn't even get close. He doesn't move us. He doesn't shake us. He doesn't change us. Hear the voice of God, girls. That's the only way to live life. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and for righteousness. He speaks through this. The word of God is going to lead you. It's going to guide you. Maybe you don't know. Maybe your heart is weary. Maybe your heart is heavy. I don't know what that is. And God says, look at me. I'm a hot mess tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Now my pants are going to come down. And but when I get into this, and sometimes I'm in the weirdest places with this because I'm so desperate. If you know me and you tell me something, what do I do right away? I'll be like, let's pray. Can we pray right now? I mean, I've had people just be like, okay. Like, because sometimes I don't have the words for what I'm hearing. But I know if I link up with the one who does, my faith will be released and I can begin to produce fruit from what that prayer was. You see, I know that because the word tells me that. I don't know that because I don't read this. I know that because I read this. Because this is my lifeline. When they want to say this is the most overrated book, did you see that one? Yeah, you are underrated. You have no idea what you're missing out on. Because this is the book of life. It's the everlasting sword that will strip you and cut you, but also sew you right back together and make you stronger and better. You see, God didn't leave us with a manual for nothing. He left us with a manual so that we could get through life and hear his voice. Because I am the vine. You are the branches. Girls, that's who you are. Number two, identify the pruning in your life. Sometimes you're going, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why isn't God? Have we ever had those moments? Why aren't you, God? Where are you? Hello? Or maybe you're wondering, why are these people being such idiots in my life? Because it's always somebody else. It's never you, right? And you're going, where are you, God? What is this? He said, I'm cutting this away right now, and it's going to hurt. Because this personality inside of you is being used wrong. And so we're going to cut that little part of your attitude off, and we're going to change it and make it more like me. We're gonna cut out that stinking thinking out of your mind, and we're going to replace it with what my word says about it. You see, maybe it's God is pruning away people in your life and it hurts because you love them. And God says, those people are not good for you. And you just prayed a prayer the day before and said, God, all of you is everything I need. We just sing that song. We sit through worship. We sing these ballads to God. But do we mean them? Because when God says, oh yeah, I want all of you. I need all of you. Are you willing to give him up? Are you willing to give up that friend that doesn't want anything to do with me, that's tearing you down? You see, are you willing to stop fighting with these people in your life? Are you ready to take our relationship to the next level? Because it's going to take some pruning. That means you're going to have to stop watching so much Netflix, and you're going to have to get into your word. You're going to have to not, before bed, get your nacho chips and watch your movie that you have on DVR. And I say that because that's what I do. The kids wonder where those chips go. I don't buy them for them. That's one dimple. That's two. I'm kidding. Gosh, I just want to play tonight. Is this okay? But yet, we're not willing to give up our routines. And God is saying, what if I need to cut off that routine? What if I need to shake your jar a little bit? What if I need to change your mode a bit? What if I need to ask you to take new levels and new places? What if I'm going to ask you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and come down to the church and start praying around the building because the enemy is totally swarming and he's working and I need some warriors, I need some prayer warriors to walk around the building and to take ground again. What if? You go, oh, that's good for the lady next to me, but don't ask me. I'm not a morning person. But God says, how much do you want me? How much? How much do you want the pruning? You go, I don't want the pruning, God. And he said, well, then how much fruit do you want? You want the fruit. You want the answer to your prayer, but you're not willing to do the hard work. You're not willing to go through the hard things. You're not willing to sacrifice the moments that it takes. You see, you don't just produce a harvest. You don't just reap from that seed you planted. Without hard work, it takes time. It takes patience. I remember we had this pomegranate tree, and we cut back this pomegranate tree. I loved this pomegranate tree. Does anybody else love pomegranates? Because they are like my favorite thing in the whole world. And I was so excited. I'm like, we're cutting it back, and they cut that thing almost gone. And I was like, I literally cried. Like, they killed the tree. Do these people know what they're doing? And the next year, it produced 5 pomegranates. And I was so mad. I'm like, what? 5? I was just like disappointed on a whole nother level. And then the year after, it had so many pomegranates. I could not eat them fast enough. I couldn't reach them. I asked my daughter, we could not pick all the pomegranates. They're just rotten on the top of the tree at this point because there was such an abundance of fruit, but it took some major pruning. It took some major cutting. It took some time. It took 2 years to produce those back to what they should be. Sometimes you want the quick, my way moments in life, and God says, oh, hold on, baby girl, because this is going to take some time. What you're asking me for is an incredible miracle that I have to begin to move hearts of men, and I'm moving weather systems, and I'm moving designed and prosperous destinies of other people so that you can be in the right place at the right time years from now. You see, you may not know where your kids are right now and they're not serving God right now, but I'm telling you, you don't stop praying because your prayers are moving heaven and he's on assignment. He's doing what he needs to do, but that pruning takes some time. It takes some time. It takes some cutting. It takes some crying. It takes some praying. It takes some interceding. It takes some fasting, girls. You don't just get it with no payment. You don't just get it for free. You got your salvation for free. But the miracles are going to require some work. It's released with faith. And your faith will release heaven on your behalf. Give him some time. He's working on your behalf. That pruning takes some time. It's going to hurt. Say, it's going to hurt. But God's got me. How many of you want much fruit? You see, New York Times wrote this about pruning. It says, it is an important point to keep in mind that the plant should not be pruned unless there is a definite reason for doing it. Careless cutting deceases the beauty and the value of the plant. Intelligent pruning adds the grace and the beauty. I love that. The important step to make a detailed study of an examination of a plant to determine if its pruning is required, this should be a continual practice once the plant is established. Allowing a plant to become overgrown, get this, creates a bigger problem. Remember, I'm going to stop you right there. Do you remember that root we talked about? The bad root? The one that when someone says something to you and you just push it down, you kind of let it grow a little. And then they say it again, and that root gets bigger and deeper. Those roots need to be ripped out. Because if you leave them, those roots of bitterness, those roots of judgment, those roots of hate and malice, they're going to grow bigger in your heart. And there's not going to be any place for God to prune you back and to cut. He's going to have to cut you off and throw you out. You're not going to be able to hear the voice of God. And it says this here, and this is just about plants. Allowing the plant to be overgrown creates bigger problems. Some plants require yearly attention. Others need pruning once every 2 or 3 years. I'm learning that God prunes you when you don't expect it. And when he does it, you go, what is this? And then you go, oh, it was so worth it. Like, I came out on the other end, like, better. So girls, just hold on, because your pruning is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. And it's going to produce something good. Maybe some areas in life that you need pruned. Remember, we're identifying what needs to be pruned in our life. Maybe gossip. You're not me. I don't gossip. You gossip about the coworker or the boss. You're talking about your friends. You're talking about these things that you shouldn't be talking about. Gossip. Maybe you're nagging your husband all the time. You know, you got that honey-do list, and he's like, I'm going to honey you list. My husband is so funny. He's like, can I get through the first one that you gave me, and then we could talk about the second one? I'm like, oh, sorry. So maybe we need to work on that. We need to get better at that. Maybe we're screaming moms. Maybe this is the way you discipline, and you are screaming mom. And when you're done disciplining your kids, you're like, dang it, I didn't do that right. Maybe that needs to become a pruning phase for you. Maybe that needs to be a process that you bring to the throne room of God and go, God, help me to be a better disciplinarian the way you need me to do it. Maybe, God, what's your plan for disciplining kids? Find out what God says. Maybe you're selfish and you neglect your family. You're the mom that does everything for yourself and you forget about your kids. Well, that is unpleasing to God. And you need to correct that and get that in line. Or maybe you're opposite. Maybe you ignore yourself completely and you don't take care of yourself at all for the sake of your kids. And that's unpleasing to God as well. There's a healthy balance. You see, God is saying those things need to be pruned because when it's done God's way, it all fits in and it all works out and there is a peace and there is a rhythm and you need to get God's rhythm, not yours. Maybe you're cussing all the time. You know, those words are just flying out of your mouth and you're like, oh, I don't like that. Oh. Maybe you need to change some friends you're hanging around because that's what they're doing and you follow what you hang around. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's sin. Maybe you're in adultery. Maybe you're in sex before marriage. Maybe you're in a lifestyle that is unpleasing to God. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know what it is, but you need to identify the pruning. Identify what it is that needs to be pruned, and you need to take the steps to hear the voice of God, to allow him in, to begin to work something new inside of you. Because you trust him enough, because he's the vine, you are the branches. You don't have to do this on your own. You're not in this alone. It's not in your own power. You're a part of something greater than yourself. He's got your back. He can help you get through these. Many of these I've overcome myself, so I'm not saying it because I'm looking at you like that. I'm saying it because I'm a girl who God has helped get through so many things. Because those pruning phases and those pruning stages were hard, but I'll tell you they're worth every minute, every tear, every prayer, every moment, every position of cuddling in a ball, saying, I'm so unworthy, God, but God, you're so worthy. Lord, do something new inside of me. God, take me to a new place. Lord, I am not worthy myself, but Lord, you are so worthy. So God, take me there. You see, when you humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, he will meet you there. He will prune you back, and he will make you greater. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and it's powerful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. Remember, we talked about this tonight. And the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Rebecca Haglund wrote, it exposes our innermost thoughts and our desires. His word is a tool that cuts to remove the dying branches, but it also is the tool that cuts to bring life and health. It's the tool with two effects, the one that gives life and the one that brings death. You see, the word of God is going to bring death to your flesh because you have to put your flesh under. But the word of God is going to bring life to your spirit, man, and it's going to carry you through this beautiful life that God has given us. And he says, you can do this, girls. You've got this. Say, I've got this. Nobody, you don't got this? You see, when you're pruned, you have to encourage yourself. Say, I've got this. I'm going to be pruned, but I've got this because he's got me. And greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. You see, you don't have it. He has it, and you have it together. Psalms 51:10, create in me. This was the verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Fill my clean thoughts and right desires. That should be the cry of every woman in this room's heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. if we would just ask God that, I wonder where our children would end up. I wonder what our marriages would look like. I wonder what church growth would look like. I wonder what evangelism would really be happening in our society. Because we would be asking God for things that are uncomfortable to ask for, or things we don't want to do in our own flesh, but with him we need to do. Because you are his hands, you are his feet. You want to produce much fruit. Now this is on my little list. It was like, pray for fruit that remains. I don't want to just pray for fruit, but I want fruit that lasts. Fruit that's good and it's precious. And when you take a bite of it, it's not sour or nasty, but it's amazing and it remains and it reproduces, and the seeds from that one produce something greater. You see, I want a fruit that remains, and that's what God says in these scriptures. He says that you will be a fruit that remains. You won't be shaken off your stool. You won't be moved. You won't be taken out when the enemy just comes and flicks at you. You'd be like, what? Try that again. Not today, Satan. We're not going there. You see, you become this strong woman where you hold your shoulders back and you say, oh, hell no. Come on, try me again, because my fruit remains and yours is going to be burned up. You see, God knows what he has for you. And he hasn't put you in a place that you can't handle. God does not give you more than you can handle. You might seem overwhelmed today, but I'm here to tell you that is just getting ready to go further and farther and being launched into greater destiny, because your fruit is going to remain. It's going to keep going. It's going to be strong. It's going to be sweet, and it's going to be tasty. You're going to be like salt in a nasty world that brings seasoning and flavor to dark places. You're going to be a light in the darkness. That's who you're going to be. Your fruit will remain. God talks about this in Matthew 13, 3 through 9. And then he spoke many things to them in parables. Jesus liked telling parables because he knew that we needed good stories, right, to kind of get it. And so Jesus said, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed that fell on the wayside, and the birds came and they devoured them. Verse 4. And he sowed some seed, and he fell on the wayside, the birds devoured. Verse 5, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. I lived in an area, they call it Mentone Beach, which I think is just so funny, right? You guys know where that is, like way over here? And when we moved in, we had this beautiful tree in our front yard. And I remember loving this tree. And there's one day the tree died. And I was like, what happened to our tree? We have black thumbs. Like, I don't know. We kill everything. And I'm not kidding, Pastor Dan and I. Don't give us a plant. Okay, we will kill it. And so I'm like, I don't have a green thumb. I'm just not good at this. And I remember looking at that tree and going, what happened? And me and Dan, you know, we were young at this time. And we were like, this is stupid. We don't know what we're doing. He goes, I'm going to dig this tree out and see what happened. So he starts digging this tree out. And all of our neighbors are looking at us like, what are these weirdos doing? And I'm not kidding you. This tree was surrounded by boulders like this big. And there were four boulders. And the tree was like right smack dab in the middle of those boulders. That tree got scorched up. The heat came from the sun, and it scorched everything and killed that tree like instantly because it was too hot in the ground. We had to pull up all those boulders. We had to go buy fresh dirt, and then we had to replant a tree there. And I'm hoping Marby might be here, but like she lives in that house now, and I'm hoping that tree grows really well because I took all those boulders out. And that's what God is saying. Some sowed on this ground and the sun came and scorched it. So that seed went nowhere. It did not bear any fruit. It did not produce anything out of it. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground. I want to be good ground. And yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. I'm all about that. Come on, God. I need some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And he who has ears, hearing the voice of God, girls, let him hear. Hear from God. Sow your seed, because God's got your back. John 15, 16 says, you do not choose me. Ooh, that's good news. But I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. How many of you want to take that and receive that tonight? God has a word for you. Your children are going to be saved. Your families are going to be restored. Your life is going to be blessed. Psalms 18:36, you enlarge my path under my feet so that the feet do not slip. Ooh, I like that. Much fruit brings increase, expansion, and full baskets of joy. I'm sick of the devourer taking money from me. I'm sick of the devourer putting sickness on my family. I'm sick of the devourer taking fights and breaking families apart. I'm sick of the devourer stealing marriages in this house. But God says that I have come, and there's going to be full baskets that remain. And I believe that's a word for us, Rock Church. Stop letting the devil take from you and begin to let God increase you and expand your borders and broaden your paths. What is it you need to get in faith over today? What is it? What is it that you've been okay with that isn't okay with God? John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified. Glorified means God's goodness. That you may bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Girls, you're his disciples. I want to say this. Your prayers are seeds that are planting the fruit that remains. When you pray, when you get into your word, when you do this outline, your personal, your family, the church, I want you to do this. Remember I told you to do those three sections. In each section, I want you to put, hear the voice of God. Leave it blank for your personal. And then write in when God speaks something to you. That's what I did. God would just speak one word to me, and I'd just write it in. And then it was for my church. And it says, hear the voice of God. And I would just, okay, God, you want me to pray for that? And I'd write it in. And then it was, I did pruning. God, what do you want to prune in my personal life? God, what do you want to prune in the church life? You go, what? God prunes? Yeah, God does prune back the church. Let me tell you, I'm watching it right now. At personal, church, family, God begins to prune these things, and it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Because then, on the third part of your prayer, I want you to put much fruit. And I want you to get in faith for some things. What are you not believing God that maybe you should start believing God for again? Maybe you need to ask God for something because it says in his word that if you ask me, you shall receive. So begin to ask God for much fruit because God wants that for you. So your prayers are seeds to all of this. When that root of bitterness wants to get in there, get on your knees, girls. Go to prayer. Get it out of there. Walk in forgiveness. It's not worth it. Let it go. Leave it behind so that God can use you, so you can bear much fruit. Did you get something from God tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.